Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on something I think is truly compelling. We're looking at the RAFT to Freedom workbook by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. Specifically, we're, zeroing in on the foundational first chapter.
That's right.
Our mission, really, for this deep dive is to unpack how this ancient wisdom, largely from Buddhist philosophy, how it blends so well with modern science, guiding us, hopefully, from suffering towards, genuine well-being and freedom.
And what I find striking is how it makes these potentially complex ideas feel really accessible.
Exactly. And applicable to anyone's life, really.
Indeed. Yeah, the core idea, it's deeply universal, this workbook. It's designed for anyone, really anyone, seeking to navigate, life's inherent difficulties. It doesn't matter if you identify with a specific struggle or not.
Right.
It reminds me of what Thich Nhat Hanh said. For me, there is no happiness without freedom, and freedom isn't handed to us. We have to build it ourselves.
Mm, powerful. And then you have Dr. Gabor Maté, who adds this this crucial insight that really hooks you into the challenge. The attempt to escape from pain is what creates more pain.
Wow.
Okay.
So facing it, not running from it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The only thing you really need is an open, caringly curious mind.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Its applicability is universal.
That straight away brings us to the heart of this, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Let's unpack this core system, what the workbook calls Gotama's Four Realizations.
Mm-hmm.
These make up the RAFT acronym, right? And they seem absolutely central to finding freedom from that universal stuff, craving, aversion, confusion, things we all deal with.
Exactly. Gotama, the Buddha, he presented these four realizations, these vital points, in his very first talk after his awakening. And what's fascinating is that each letter in RAFT, it isn't just an insight. It's also an active task for us, something for you to engage with.
Okay, so let's break it down. R.
So R is for recognize. This means really clearly seeing and deeply understanding that life inherently involves some pain, difficulty, disappointment. We often don't get what we want and often get what we don't want.
Exactly. And the deep insight here is that resisting this, fighting against this fundamental truth, that's often the source of our greater suffering.
So it's not about being negative.
Not at all. It's that acceptance isn't just giving up. It's actually the first brave step towards changing your whole relationship with pain. The task is just to see it clearly, understand it deeply without, denying it.
Okay, that makes sense. Then A.
Next, A is for abandon. A lot of our suffering, our difficulties, our disappointment, it comes from habitual stuff. Cravings, compulsions, aversions, strong preferences.
The things we get attached to or push away really hard.
Right. And Gotama urged us to abandon these destructive inclinations. Now, this isn't about brute force, like forcing yourself to stop wanting things. It's more subtle.
How so?
It's about a compassionate understanding of where they come from, their nature, and then skillfully letting go of their grip on you. The insight is that these inclinations, they might seem to offer pleasure or protection, but ultimately, they just keep the suffering going.
Okay. Recognize. Abandon. F must be freedom.
You got it. F is for freedom. This is crucial. It emphasizes that freedom from this tyranny, this grip of craving and compulsive patterns, it is genuinely possible.
It's not just a nice idea, then.
Not at all. Gotama insisted we can personally experience this liberation. You do it by actively cultivating moments of clarity, peace, non-reactivity in your daily life.
So it's something you can actually feel, experience directly.
Yes. The insight here is transformative. It's not some far-off theoretical state. It's a direct, verifiable, deeply personal experience you can access right now, this moment, just by shifting your awareness.
Wow. Okay. And the last one, T.
And finally, T is for train. Gotama provided a whole structured program for this in the Noble Eightfold Path. It integrates wisdom, ethical conduct, mental discipline, right into our daily lives.
So it's an ongoing process.
Exactly. The core insight is that freedom isn't a one-time prize. It's a continuous journey. It requires diligent, ongoing practice. Through this training, you develop resilience, equanimity, and you consistently steer yourself towards that lasting freedom.
That's incredibly powerful. And I can see how it all fits together. But, when you talk about abandoning these deep habits or the training required, I can imagine some listeners thinking, wow, that sounds almost impossible, like this huge battle against yourself. How does the workbook help make that feel, achievable?
That's a great point. And that's exactly where the central metaphor of the RAFT really shines. It provides a practical way to think about that journey.
The RAFT itself.
Yes. Gotama described our experience when we're caught in craving and confusion. He called it being on a dangerous shore, full of suffering, risk. But he also pointed towards a safe shore.
Liberation.
Liberation, a state of peace, clarity, profound well-being. And the RIFT, it isn't just philosophy. It's the actual vessel you build piece by piece to make that crossing.
Okay.
And here's the empowering part. Each of us, you listening right now, you are simultaneously the captain, the navigator, and the crew.
Ah, so you're in charge.
Completely. You are responsible for skillfully steering your raft across these often challenging waters. It's about personal agency, truly. And the workbook, well, it gives you the blueprint.
I really like that image. It does feel empowering taking ownership like that. So if we're the captain building this vessel,
yeah.
What are the actual parts? What makes up this RAFT we need to build and navigate?
Yeah, the workbook lays it out beautifully. Each part contributes to a successful journey. Think of it like a really comprehensive toolkit for, well, self-transformation.
Okay, so what's the foundation?
We start by laying down the planks. These are our ethical foundations, our commitment to harmlessness. It's guided by what the workbook calls the five gifts.
The precepts.
Essentially, yes. Practical principles.
No.
Not harming living beings. Not taking what isn't given. Avoiding sexual misconduct. Avoiding false speech. And avoiding intoxicants that cloud the mind. They form the solid base, you know. Make sure we don't accidentally drill holes in our own raft. Or someone else's.
Makes sense. And to hold those planks together. For resilience.
Exactly. You need strong binding ropes. These are our heart practices. Compassion, kindness, joy, equanimity. And crucially, these are cultivated inwardly. Self-compassion, self-kindness, self-appreciation, self-balance.
Towards ourselves first.
Yes. The insight is that these internal qualities bind the raft firmly. Without that compassionate heart towards yourself and others, the raft gets rigid, brittle. It won't withstand the storms.
Okay, structure's there. How do we, like, steer it? Get moving.
Right. That's where the masts come in. These are mindfulness and concentration. Think of them as twin pillars giving stability and direction, keeping you present and focused.
Essential for navigation.
Absolutely. Without developing these internal skills, even with the best intentions, your journey lacks clarity, lacks steadiness. You'll just get lost at sea.
And masts need sails to catch the wind, yeah.
Precisely. The sails are those four stages we just talked about. Recognize, abandon, freedom, and train. As you accomplish each stage, it's like hoisting another powerful sail.
Ah, I see.
These sails catch the wholesome winds, positive intentions, skillful actions propelling you forward towards liberation. Each step builds momentum.
Okay, we're moving. How do we know where we're going?
Good question. We need a compass. This points us towards the four resolves. Specific intentions directing our efforts. Prevent the unwholesome. Abandon the unwholesome that's already there. Cultivate the wholesome and maintain the wholesome.
Refocused. Keeps you on course.
Exactly. Prevents just drifting aimlessly.
But a compass doesn't power the boat. What's the engine here?
Ah, the engine. This is powered by the four superpowers, as the workbook calls them. Noble desire, the deed wish for freedom. Courageous effort, the energy to keep going. The heart's compass, intuitive wisdom. And fearless investigation, looking deeply without flinching.
So motivation, energy, intuition, and inquiry.
That's it. They're the inner fuel. They keep you moving, even when the waters get choppy.
And speaking of choppy waters, what about storms? How do we handle those?
For that, we have tools and reinforcements. These are represented by the five defenders. Confidence, courage, mindfulness again, a gathered mind, which is concentration and discernment or wisdom.
Your inner toolkit.
Your inner toolkit, exactly. Essential faculties and strengths you cultivate to protect your raft, keep it seaworthy through life's challenges.
Okay, nearly there. Anything else?
One more crucial element. The anchors. To steady us in turbulent waters. These are the four foundations of mindfulness. Specific ways of paying attention to the body, feelings, the mind itself, and phenomena or mental objects.
Grounding practices.
Yes. They steadily secure the raft no matter how rough things get. Keep you grounded in present reality.
It's really fascinating how this framework weaves together the ancient wisdom with modern psychological approaches. The workbook mentions things like MBRP.
Mindfulness-based relapse prevention, yes.
And ACT.
Acceptance and commitment therapy.
EBT.
Dialectical behavior therapy.
And MBCT.
Mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, it really does integrate them. So it's not just ancient philosophy. It's providing an evidence-based roadmap, too. You get that empirical support alongside this profound wisdom.
That blend feels really reassuring.
Absolutely. And the workbook organizes this whole journey using those four RAFT stages we outlined. RAFT. And what's really relevant for us starting this deep dive now
is the beginning.
Exactly. The journey starts squarely with the recognized stage. That's chapter one. It's where you honestly look at your current situation, understand the nature of suffering, and metaphorically start gathering the raw materials you need to build and steer your raft.
Taking that honest inventory first.
Precisely.
So how does someone actually use this workbook? It sounds very active, not just something you read passively.
It absolutely is. Each chapter isn't just theory. It gives you key concepts, sure, but also practical exercises, self-reflection questions, prompts for journaling.
And it draws on neuroscience, psychology, too.
Often, yes. It brings in those perspectives to give a really well-rounded understanding. The invitation is clear. Engage actively. Maybe grab a journal. And be honest, be patient, and crucially, be kind to yourself during the process.
Self-compassion seems key.
It's woven throughout. It's a personal journey, and it really demands and encourages that self-compassion. And the authors also really encourage community. You can join their RAFT community online, raft2freedom.org, for meetings and practices. Sharing reflections can be incredibly helpful.
But you can do it alone, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Individual study is perfectly fine, but the shared journey often deepens the experience for many.
And I think what really hits home is that message from the workbook itself. You do not need to identify with addiction or Buddhism to benefit.
Right.
RAFT provides a structured yet flexible approach, guiding your personal journey from pain towards lasting freedom. It really does feel like it's for anyone seeking that shift.
That message is so important, isn't it? It underlines the universality. And it celebrates the courage it takes to even embark on this path. It reminds me of that profound quote from Gautama about the purpose of the spiritual life.
Which one?
And so the spiritual life is not lived for the sake of possessions, honor, and popularity, or for accomplishment in ethics, concentration, knowledge, and vision.
So not for external rewards.
No. Rather, the goal, the core, and final end is the unshakable freedom of the heart. That's the aim, cultivating that inner state of liberation.
That unshakable freedom of the heart. Wow, that connects right back to your personal safe shore, doesn't it? That state of inner peace, independent of what's going on outside.
Precisely. And for anyone listening who wants to, you know, dig even deeper into the roots.
The original sources.
Yeah, the key texts underpinning RAFT are the Alagadupama Sutta, that's where the main raft metaphor comes from, and the Dhammakakapavattana Sutta. That was Gautama's first discourse, laying out the four tasks and the Eightfold Path. Foundational stuff.
Good to know for those who want to explore further. So thinking about all this, reflecting on your own dangerous shore, those struggles, maybe cravings, the confusion you experience, and starting to picture your own safe shore of freedom. Here's the question to leave you with. What deeply motivates you to undertake this courageous voyage towards freedom?